certainty, before you leave here today, you can know that if that were to happen today, that you would go to be with our Lord. So that's what I want to preach on this morning. Let's read our text now. If you found your place, please stand in reverence to God's holy word. 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 51. The Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to come to your house. I pray, Lord, now that you would give me the grace to accurately handle your word. And I pray you'd open the ears of believers to hear what you have to say to them. And Lord, if there's anybody in our presence today that does not know you as their Lord and their Savior, or is unsure of their standing with you, I pray today that those that are unsure, that you would make it clear that they're either yours or they are not. Or Lord, those that do not know you, I pray today that you would open their eyes to their need for a Savior. Show them their sin. But Lord, also show them the cross. Show them what you did for them. And show them all they've got to do is call upon your name and you will save them. Lord, I pray there wouldn't be anyone here today of the age of accountability, that leaves here today not knowing you. Lord Jesus, we love you. And we pray all this in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. So hold your place there in 1 Corinthians 15 and go with me now to Revelation chapter 4. And I just want to explain to you the thought process behind the message today. Because you may be thinking, I thought we was going to hear Revelation 4 today. Well, you kind of are, but we're going to deal with it more seriously in the coming weeks. But Revelation 4 verse 1 says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." And let me say there, that door was, he didn't see it open, but he saw an opened door. "Opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." So in chapter 4 of Revelation, which we will deal with in the coming weeks, we're getting a look into heaven itself. And as we look at chapter 4, we're going to see the 24 elders here that we're going to see in chapter 4 as we study on that. That is our representatives and pictures of the church in heaven. So what we see in chapter 4 is children of God that have been born again by the grace of God in heaven. But before we see them in heaven, obviously something had to happen, didn't it? Because after chapter 3, or between chapter 3 and chapter 4, something happened because the church is not mentioned again after chapter 3. And what that is the rapture, the great catching away. When those that are alive and remain, the Bible talks about, and we will look at, are caught up together to be with the Lord. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. And that's what I want to deal with this morning. Before we look at a glimpse into heaven, I want to see how we got there first. And that's why I wanted to look at 1 Corinthians 15 this morning and ask the question, are you ready? I'm not saying his mom or his dad or his grandma or his grandpa or his husband or his wife. I'm saying, are you? Are you ready? If the rapture were to happen today, would you go? And you and mom and dad, you may say, well, I'm ready, but my kids aren't. Well, how sad would it be to you to be caught away and your babies to be left behind? It's a very serious thing to think about. And that's what we want to look at today. I want to focus on that. And us as children of God, as we look at this, we need to be encouraged. We need to be excited. Because, praise God, one day we get to leave this place. This isn't it. If this was it, how sad would it be? But the Lord promises this, us in His Word that we're going to get to be with Him. And I believe it's much more sooner than we think. I believe also that if anyone in the building today does not know God, that this message should wake you up to the fact that you need God and you need Him now. Not on your timetable, but on His. If He's dealing with your heart today, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week. The Lord may return before then. Or if He doesn't return, you may go by way of the grave. We don't know how much time we have left, so get right with God while you can. That way, when we get to Revelation chapter 4, when we look into heaven and we see the church, we see you. Praise God, now when we look into heaven, we see Bentley. We see me, and if you're a child of God, we see you. I mean, we get to see picture us in heaven, but we gotta make sure we're going. Do you know God? So, as we look at the rapture this morning, I want to look at four things very quickly. And I'm going to try to be very mindful of the time because I know we've got a baptism following the service this morning. But the first thing I want to point out this morning as we think about the rapture, I want to look at the moment of the rapture. You say, oh, he's going to put a date on it. No. Don't get excited. And if I did, you would know for a fact that's not the one. So, but the moment of the rapture, I want to look at three things in regards to the moment of the rapture. The first thing I want to point out is it is sure. What I mean by that is it's going to happen. So many people today, well, I've heard preaching for years and years and years that the rapture was going to happen soon and it's right around the corner, and yet it still hasn't happened. Well, it hasn't happened, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. That just means we're a lot closer now than we were. And some people may say, well, why hasn't it happened yet? Why hasn't God come to stop all the bad in the world and destroy it like we see in the book of Revelation? And really, ultimately, His grace and His mercy. He has not come back yet, I believe, because there are still many more people to be saved. That's why He's long-suffering. That's why He hasn't come back yet, because maybe you're here today and you're lost. He hasn't come back yet because He wants you to be saved. Because I believe those that have heard the gospel over and over and over and over again, when the rapture happens, your destiny is sealed. Because there are movies today, good movies, but doctrinally they have some issues. And one of those is people that have heard the gospel, they're in the movie, they're getting saved right and left after the rapture. But I don't believe there's Bible to support that. I believe that if you've heard the gospel and you've rejected God, then the rapture happens, your destiny is sealed, and you will endure the tribulation, and then you will spend eternity in hell. And this is not an enjoyable thing to talk about, and I don't want you to think that I enjoy this. I'm saying this today because I love every person here. And I want to make sure every one of you are going to be with me in heaven forever. I want you to be ready so when the rapture does happen, we'll all go together. But it is sure. The Bible says, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. And what that means is that means something that has been hidden but is now being revealed. That's what that means. Something that was previously hidden but is now being revealed to us by the Apostle Paul. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The rapture is sure. It will happen. When the Bible says shall, that means will. That's not a maybe or a possibility. That is a guarantee that it's going to happen. The rapture is sure. It's going to happen. But not only is it sure, but the moment of the rapture, it is a secret. We don't know exactly when it's going to happen. You probably heard a lot of people throughout your lifetime. I've heard two or three specifically, I can't remember their names, who have set specific dates of when the rapture is going to happen, and every time they've been wrong. because the Bible said no man knoweth the day nor the hour of the coming of the Son of Man. Nobody does. Only God himself. And that should, anyone in the building or anyone in our family that does not know God, that should light a fire in us as believers to go to them and to lovingly share the gospel with them and plant as many seeds as we can in hopes that they will come to know God as soon as possible, because we don't know when it's going to happen. We just know it will. And we need to make sure us and our families and everyone we know is ready for it. It is sure, but it is a secret. But when it does happen, it will be speedy. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So many people say, well, the Lord has taken a long time to come. And in our eyes, in reference of time, I can kind of see what they're saying, because this scripture was written a long time ago. But when the Lord says he's coming quickly, that means when he does come, it will be instantaneous, immediate. I believe the Apostle Paul here used the one physical thing that we can think about to, as best we can, best he could picture the how fast it would be, the twink or the blink of an eye. That's one of the fastest things our brains can register. It's so quick we don't even really realize it. But in an instant, every child of God that's on planet Earth, when Christ calls them home, in an instant are going to be gone. And that is one area where you see all the movies. That is one area I believe they've got it fairly right, where there will be car crashes, plane crashes, helicopter crashes. The Bible even talks about another place that two shall be working in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. There are instances where some will go and others will be left behind. And sadly, because we dealt with the church of Laodicea last time we were in Revelation, sadly there are some churches that when the rapture happens, they're not going to skip a beat the next Sunday. They're going to have all their members because they got a church filled with lost people. But when it does happen, it will be instantaneous. It will be quick. It will be in the twinkling of an eye. So we see the moment of the rapture. Now, secondly, I want to point out the melody of the rapture. It says, verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump or trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound. So we see the sound here is of a trumpet. And then we also see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So we see the sound appears as a trumpet. But I want to show us something. The source of the sound is actually Christ himself. It is the powerful voice of Jesus Christ calling his children home to be with him. So what is the significance or the explanation of that? Where are you getting that, Pastor Tyler? Well, go with me to Revelation chapter 4. We're back where we were. And then we're going to also look at chapter 1. I believe the explanation of a trumpet is used because of its power, its authority, its piercing sound. But we see, I believe, in the Word of God that it is the actual voice of our Lord calling us home. The Bible says, chapter 4, verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which thou must be, which must be hereafter. Who's speaking? Go with me to chapter 1, verse number 10. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10, thinking about the source, which is Christ. It says, I was in the Spirit, this is John, on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And then Christ speaks. See, what we see here, when you hear of the trumpet calling us home to be with the Lord, it is the voice of Christ himself. The sound, man, and this is a voice of power, of authority, calling us home. And that is the sound that we will hear. And children of God will know that voice. Because like it says in John 10, we've heard that voice. We know his voice and we follow him. But we see the melody of the rapture, the sound as of a trumpet. The source ultimately is Christ. And we see the significance there. His voice is pictured as the sounding of a trumpet because of the power and authority that is heard from it. So we see the moment of the rapture, the melody of the rapture, and praise God, the metamorphosis in the rapture. We see a beautiful thing here in verses 51 through 57. The first thing we see is the sequence. The Bible says in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So the sequence, or I guess you could say the order. First, the dead, those that have died in Christ, will rise before us. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in chapter 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 and 16, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent," that means precede, go before, "them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So the sequence, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then the Bible talks about those that are alive and remain will follow secondly. And that should give us encouragement as children of God. And in many funerals, that is the verse that you hear read. That gives us hope because we know one day we're going to get to be with them again. We will rise and so will they. And we will get to spend eternity with them and our Lord if they know God for all of eternity. So that is the sequence, the dead in Christ, and then us. And then we see the separation. It says, verse 53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So the separation. Praise God, at that point, we will be separated from this sin-cursed body. Praise the Lord. In this world of sickness and of pain and of deterioration of the human body, at that very moment, if you know Christ, you will be separated from your sinful fleshly body and given a new one, praise God. So not only do we see the separation, but we see the sanctification. Well, our old body is taken off and a new body is put on. Because if we're going to enter heaven, we've got to put on incorruption. We've got to put on immortality. But they see, that's exactly what happens here. It says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So we see there the beautiful metamorphosis. We will be changed into our new heavenly bodies. We'll get rid of our sin-cursed body. All the pain and suffering you may be feeling now or someone you know is feeling, if they know God one day, they're going to leave that body behind. And they're going to put a new one on. And they're going to be in heaven with no sickness, no pain, no sadness. Just worship and praise of our Lord for all eternity. And see, that's what we'll get a taste of, Lord willing, next week. You see, the first look we get into heaven, the first place we look is the throne. Because our eyes are on Jesus. And that's what we need to be focused on now. We need to get prepared now because when we get to heaven, that's what we're going to be doing. It's not like we're going to go on an eternal vacation. No, we're going to be worshiping Jesus for all eternity in praise and in thanksgiving for what he's done for us. But before we do that, we will be changed. We'll put off this old body, put on a new, and get to go be with him. So we see the metamorphosis in the rapture. So we see the moment, the melody, and the metamorphosis. So now, with verse 58, see, this is the context, and that's why I encourage you when you read a verse of Scripture. Verse 58 is great, but it's even greater when you read it in its proper context. So we've read that we have a hope in Christ, that this life is not it. We will stand before our Lord one day, and we'll see in Revelation when we get there, we will be able to offer Him the crowns we have earned in worship and praise for what He's done for us. So in light of the hope of the rapture for the children of God, so we see in mindfulness of the rapture, three things, and I'll be done. We see first, we see we must be firmly grounded. Firmly grounded. It says, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. We need to be firmly grounded. Go with me to Luke chapter 6. A parallel passage dealing with the wise and foolish man. And it's a parallel passage with Matthew 7. Luke chapter 6, as we think about firmly grounded, deeply rooted. Luke chapter 6, verses 47 and 48. Bible says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. See, if we want to be firmly found, firmly grounded, we need to dig deep in the Word and find that bedrock so that when the storms do come, we will stand firm for the cause of Christ. So many Christians today, they may read the Bible, but they don't dig into the Bible. And if you don't dig and find that, that's what you got to do when you're building a house. You got to dig till you find bedrock, and that's what you build your foundation on. So that if storms do come and the winds do blow, that house stands firm. But if we did like the foolish man, and we just kind of skimmed the top of the Scripture and didn't deeply root ourselves in it, and the storm came, the house would be blown over. We need to be deeply rooted in the Word. We need to be deeply rooted in Christ. We see firmly grounded by three things. First, through reading, obviously. If you want to be deeply rooted in the Word, you need to get in the Word. I'm not going to camp on that, but we need to be reading, but also researching. The word researching means, and you know what it means, by reading the definition makes it pop more. Diligent and systematic inquiry or investigation into a subject. Could you say today that that is what your Bible study can be characterized as? A systematic and diligent inquiry or investigation into a subject? A lot of times in my Christian walk, that is the farthest thing from what my study time was. Not a diligent and systematic study of the Word, but just reading it to kind of check a box. One thing Brother Will Rice said, and then it stuck out to me. He said, when you're reading, you need to see the text, but you need to see through the text to the truth within it. You need to get in the Word. We need to deeply root ourselves in it, and we do that through reading and through researching and through responding to it. When it tells us to do something, by God's grace, we should do it. We need to do it with His help, with His empowerment. And as we do that, as you dig into the Word, and as you live by faith, and as you do what God says, all you're doing is driving your roots deeper into the ground. Isn't that what a plant does? The more nutrients it gets, the greater the root base gets, and the taller and stronger it can be. See, that's what we need to be. And remember, all this is in light of the rapture. All this in light of the fact that we need to be steadfast. We owe that to our Lord. Hey, we get to go to be in heaven with Him for all eternity, and probably sooner than we realize. So that as we think about that, that should motivate us, hey, to get in the Word, to get the Word in us and live it by God's grace as best we can, as hard as we can, so that we can take as many people with us when we go. So we should be firmly grounded. And when we're firmly grounded, it will enable us then to be faithful. It says in verse 58, be steadfast, unmovable. See, we need to be that way in the world, day and time we live in. We need to find where the Word of God and the gospel stands on an issue and toe that line. But if we're not deeply rooted, we won't do that. We will tuck tail. We will run. We will give the world what they want, and this church will shut down. We need to be firmly grounded, and we need to be faithful. And when we do that, we will be fruitful. Praise God. It says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always doing more and more, growing more and more. Did you know as a child of God, you will never get to the point where you don't need to grow anymore? We can always grow more. We can always learn more. We can always become more like Christ. We can always do more. And you see, when we're deeply rooted, it will enable us to be faithful. And it will enable us to bear fruit continually, more and more fruit. But the reason so many children of God today are not being faithful and not bearing fruit is because they're not firmly grounded in the Word. They carry a Bible. They may read it every once in a while, but they're not rooted in it. It's not in them. So we see there the mindfulness of the rapture and the encouraging things. We need to be firmly grounded, faithful, and fruitful. When you do those things, you're not wasting your time. Look what it says in verse 58. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hey, the rapture is going to happen sometime soon. And all that labor that the world may not have seen, and maybe you felt like you were wasting your time doing, it will be worth it all when you stand before God and you have crowns to offer Him in thanks for what He has done for you. The rapture is going to happen. When? I don't know. But it's a lot sooner now than it was. And the question you need to ask yourself, am I ready? Not are you a church member? Not have you been baptized? Bentley's about to take a wonderful step of obedience. But he's as saved now as he's ever going to be. That doesn't save you. If you're resting in church membership, baptism, Bible reading, being a good person, giving to charities, no, none of that gets you to heaven. If that's all you've got when the rapture happens, you're going to be left right in your seat. You need Jesus. Go with me one more time to Revelation 4. Told you you'd get a little bit of Revelation 4 today. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. I want you to see today that the open door that we see in heaven, I believe, is a picture of Jesus. That's how we get there. If we're saved, that's how we got there. The open door, which is Christ. It says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. I want you to know today that door is still open. If you don't know Jesus, that door is open to you today. We have hope. I didn't read it earlier, but we see in verses 54 through 57, so when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that hope because of what Christ did. For a child of God, death has no sting because Christ took the sting of death. And when He returns, He's going to take us, He's going to call us home. And if you're here today and you don't know Him, He wants to do for you what He did for me. He wants to forgive your every sin. He wants to save your soul, and He wants you to leave here with absolute certainty that if He were to return, you would go with Him. There's Bible to know for sure. Jesus did all that needed to be done. He lived a perfect life, fulfilled the law in every aspect, did nothing wrong, didn't even backtalk mom and dad, kids, and I know that seems impossible, but He didn't do it. And then He was nailed to a rugged cross. having lived a life of perfection, but he was nailed to that cross for you and for me because he knew every wrong that you would commit. He knew wrongs you would commit that no human may ever know that you did them. But he knew about those. And he went to the cross with love to bear those sins. And not only did he nail to the cross, he died, he was buried, and praise God, 3 days later he rose again so that if you will call upon his name, ask him to forgive you of your sins and save your soul, he will save you. And then at that point, you will have the hope of a resurrection, either from the grave or in the rapture. But you will get to go be with him. He's done everything that needs to be done. He doesn't want you to be left behind like we saw in that video. He is ready. He'll do for you like he did for the leper. The leper said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He said, "I will." And immediately, he was made clean. You know, when Bentley prayed on Tuesday, immediately, he was made clean. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, if you'll call upon his name, immediately, you will be made clean. And if the rapture happened today, you'd go with us. Don't leave here today without making things right with God. Maybe you're here today and you're saved. Maybe even your whole immediate family is saved, but you've got family members and friends that don't know Jesus, that maybe you've had opportunities to witness to and you did not. How sad would it be to leave here, go to heaven for all eternity, but leave them behind? I had a dream years ago, not like a prophecy or anything, just a dream, and in the dream, it was my brother at that point, praise God, he knew Jesus, but I believe that maybe the Lord allowed me to have this dream and put him in it because at that point in my life, there wasn't anybody that I loved more than him. And in the dream, the rapture happened. Now, in a dream, you know, everything's a lot slower, so in the dream, I began to rise. I'm going to be with my Lord, as the Bible says, and I look down, and there's my brother, jumping, wanting to go with me. Now, I know there isn't Bible to back up all that's going on here. The point of me telling that story is, how sad would it be for you to go to heaven and leave your family behind? It ripped my heart out. Now, praise God, I woke up, came back to reality, and knew my brother was saved and on his way to heaven. And thank the Lord for that. But I thank God let me have that dream to wake me up to the fact we need to be mindful of the rapture, so that when we see our friends and our family, we will see the urgency to share with them the gospel so that they will not be left behind. God doesn't want them to be. All they got to do is ask him, and he'll forgive their sins and save their soul. But may God help us as children of God to do our part and plant the seed. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, as Miss Mary comes to the piano this morning, I don't know where this message finds you today, but she begins to play today, the altar's open. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. Let's take a step back here. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there anyone here today with every head bowed and every eye closed that would be willing to raise your hand with no one looking around but myself and say, "Pastor Tyler, if the Lord were to return today, I'm not sure. I am not sure that I would go to be with him." Would you raise your hand? I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. I won't say a word to you. I just want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? "Pastor Tyler, I'm not sure if I'm ready." Praise God, no hands were raised. I hope that is an indication that every person in this room that is of the age of accountability is saved and on their way to heaven. But sadly, I doubt that's true. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, don't leave today without making things right. Maybe you're here today and you want to come down here with these other believers and you want to cry out to God on behalf of your lost family and friends and say, "God, save them. God, open their eyes to their need. God, help me to be the light, the example, plant the gospel seed. God, give me the grace to share with them the truth and save them before your return. Because his return is sure, and when it happens, it will be fast. So we need to pray that God open their eyes now while they still have time. Thank you.